So what is mission? It's a key question, isn't it? You've got a mission Sunday. What is it all about? And there are many options and many opinions. Compassion. Of course, compassion has to be in the heart of mission. Compassion to children, to the homeless, to the vulnerable, to the poor. But can't that be done by anyone? Does that have the gospel in it that we have been singing about? And then there's evangelism. That's mission. And we'd all say, yes, that's definitely mission. Church planting. And we've seen a bit about that this morning, haven't we? As we think of that small group leaving the church that was planted there in Serbia and going to a new place in Serbia, or having left the UK and gone to Madeira, or planning to go from here to the Philippines. But it's only a few. And perhaps you're sitting there and thinking, well, that's nice for them, but that's not for me. Training pastors. I think Paul might mention a little bit about that this evening. If I was here this evening, we were going to talk more about that. That's only a few. Preaching. That's mission. But it's only a few. So that kind of becomes exclusive, doesn't it? And here is the issue that we face when we ask, what is mission? Is it so narrow where only a few are involved in evangelistic work? Or is it so broad and totally inclusive where there is no gospel element to it? The professionals do it on the one hand. Anyone immaterial, actually, of being saved can do it on this hand. What is the right view of mission? Is there a... There's a danger here of saying a middle way, but it's not a middle way. What does the Bible say? What is the biblical way in the midst of this as to what mission is? Well, here in Matthew 4, I think the start of Jesus' mission, which was all, Jesus' ministry, which is all about mission, we can draw out three characteristics or definitions of mission that will help us in our own witness wherever we are. Let's turn to Matthew 4. First of all, I think we need to see here that mission is bringing light to the world. Mission is bringing light to the world. According to Jesus, he has come into this world for a reason. And verses 12 to 25 give us some of that. So we read in verse 13 that Jesus left, he went, and he lived. Why? Why did he do that? Well, verse 14 tells us, so that what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. He did that so that the prophecy that Isaiah gave was being fulfilled. And what was that prophecy? Well, we're told it there in verses 15 and 16. Well, first of all, that he fulfills that prophecy, and a light, verse 16, is seen. The people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light. Jesus has come to bring light into the darkness of the world. Isaiah says that, and Jesus in doing that shows that that is what he has come to do. It's dark. It's night time. We were on holiday a few weeks ago, and we were in Scotland, and we were in an area where we were far from a town, even a village. There were no street lights. And you looked out and it was absolutely pitch dark. And you looked up and you could just see these little stars twinkling. But as dawn comes, the sun starts to shine. And that darkness starts to be removed and the light begins to be seen. It's a wonderful thing. And finally, the darkness is completely swept away. And it is light. And that is what Isaiah is speaking of, because that is what Jesus is bringing. It is light that sweeps away darkness. Verse 16, the people dwelling in darkness, and for those dwelling in the region and shadow of death, on them a light has dawned. They have seen a great light. What is that light? That light is Jesus. The light is better. The light wins, we might say. The darkness loses, the light wins. Because the darkness is banished, is removed by the light. And Jesus speaks of himself in this way frequently through the Gospels. And most clearly in John 9, where he declares on a number of occasions, I am the light of the world. And we had the second part of our reading in Matthew 5, because it links it together. Because not only does Jesus say, I am the light of the world, but he says to his disciples, you are the light of the world. Did you hear that? Verse 14 of chapter 5. You are the light of the world. Jesus tells us, if you are a Christian this morning, that you bring light to a world that is dark. We have two perspectives here, light and darkness. Take them one at a time. Dark world. Do you think of the world like that? Society says, essentially, that everything is fine, but there is these bits of darkness here and there. But Jesus and the Bible says, verse 16, the people live in darkness. The people are dwelling in darkness. All people, not just those who we began by saying, what is mission, the needy, those who need compassion, and the way charities that do good works are focusing on, but actually every single person in this world without Christ is in the deepest destructive darkness. That is the gospel mission view that contrasts with the world's view, which says you're pretty good, really, and there are just one or two people who aren't. What about light? The world says, well, what you need are clothes of a particular type, a job of a particular salary, prospects so that you can get a career, family so that you can be happy. Doesn't matter what that family is like, but you need love. Whatever that love is, that's fine as long as you're happy with it. Children, because that's good if you want them, or perhaps if you don't, that doesn't really matter. Health, because that's most important. Prosperity, because you need that material gain. They are the things that matter. The physical, the material. Jesus in the Bible says, you need light. All of those things are very nice, and of course they are, but you need light. Light, because you are in darkness. You're in universal darkness, and you, the Christian, are different because we know that the world needs light, because we know the world is in darkness, and we have the light to bring to them, which will clear away the darkness and transform lives. And mission is when Jesus' disciples, all of us, bring the light of Jesus to the darkness of our world. What does it mean to bring light to the world? What is this light? What is that about? How is the light brought? We're going to see some more of that as we go on in our passage. Well, that's a very simple answer, is by bringing the gospel, which is Jesus, the good news of Jesus, the light of the world, to the world. And therefore, it is in the saving of men and women and boys and girls from the eternal consequences of their sin that plunges them in the deepest darkness. And it doesn't matter who they are. Doesn't matter what nationality they are. Doesn't matter whether they are male or female. Does not matter whether they are Tory or Labour, as we're having those party conferences at the moment. Doesn't matter about any of those things. Jesus has come to save. Has come to save us from the consequences of that darkness, which is the wrath of God upon us, because we are sinners. And in mission, we share this message. We share the great good news of the message of Jesus Christ that saves sinners and brings that light. And that is something only a Christian can do. Look at what happens here in the logical flow and connections that we have. Chapter 4, verse 16. Who's that about? The people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light. From that time on, Jesus began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Who is the light? Jesus. And what about the disciple? Chapter 5, verse 14. You are the light of the world. You shine out. So verse 16 says, let your light shine before others. Do it. And why do we do it? What is this about? Well, we've got to connect it into what is said next. So that they may see your good works. But it doesn't stop there. And glorify your Father in heaven. Good deeds are not enough. God is to be glorified. Compassion, good deeds that we spoke about at the beginning is that mission. Even though they are good, without the gospel, it is not mission. Mission is bringing the light of salvation into a darkened world of sin with the consequence that they who receive that light give glory to God and know God. Here is the amazing privilege of the Christian. Mission Sunday isn't a day in which we say, those over there are doing mission and we can pray or give to them, even though that is good. But Mission Sunday is saying we are with them in the work that the Christian is called to do wherever you are, showing that light of Christ to others. Mission is light to the world. And you and I as Christians are the only ones who have that light. Think about the privilege of that and also the challenge and the responsibility. Second, mission is following Jesus. You see, sometimes, as I already said, we think mission isn't for me. It's for others. It's for Slavko and Alison. It's for Igor and Renata. It's for all those people that we have mentioned already. But listen to what Jesus says here. It flows on. It goes on. Come, follow me. Verse 19. Follow me. Now, is this just for a few? Is this where we can read and say, oh, that's how Jesus called his first 12 disciples? It's a really interesting bit of history, that. It's really interesting to see what happened there, and that's very nice for them, but really has got not much relevance to me. Wrong. It's got every relevance to us. Here we have a twofold call for us to follow. And there's an order. First, it says, come. Come, here is an invitation to know Jesus. Come to me. Come to meet me. Come to know me. To know Jesus. To know the one who is described as the light of the world. And that means to be forgiven of your sin. To be saved. To be right with God. To know God as your Father, your Heavenly Father. To know Jesus as your Saviour, to know the Holy Spirit at work in you, helping you day by day, and knowing you have an eternal future and destiny. And Jesus preaches and calls. And what does he call for first? Where does it begin? Verse 17, it is that word repent. Repent. The starting point for anyone to know the light of the world, to know salvation, to know forgiveness, is to turn from sin, to turn from your own way, to admit you are in darkness, to admit that you have messed up, to admit you are far from God, to admit that what the Bible is saying is true and what the world is saying is wrong. And the call of Jesus, the call of the gospel, isn't first for mission, to do things for God. It isn't first to say, oh, if that's the case, I must work for all of this and be like Reuben and Kathy. And I'll sign up with GBM this evening for the Envision because that will get me some more points to get me to heaven. No, it's not to do things for God, but it is in repentance and faith in Jesus as Saviour to receive to have a forgiven relationship with God. You see, why darkness? Because we're in darkness due to sin. Why light? Because we need light, and that light is only found in Jesus, who is the light of the world. And notice that word, the. We remember it from school. It is the definite article. It's definite. It is exclusive. Amidst the call of the voices and religions of the world, we saw that with Madeira just very briefly, could have told you more about that. Oh yes, that religion is all right, people say. Just keep people in their own religion, they'll be fine. And Jesus stands there clearly and says, I am the light of the world, the only light. And when we put that word only in, that brings a huge challenge, doesn't it? The only light? Yes, the only one. How can Jesus say that? How can we be so bigoted, as we're described of, intolerant, to say he is the only one? Well, look what Jesus does. Look at verse 24. What does he do? His fame spread throughout all Syria. And they brought him all the sick, those afflicted with various diseases and pains, those oppressed by demons, epileptics and paralytics. He healed them. Jesus healed them. He does this to show who he is. This shows who he is. It authenticates him as the light of the world. Only Jesus does that. Do you know this Jesus? Because when we start talking about mission, we don't start about doing, we start about being and our relationship with God and our own salvation. What about you? And what about me? I need to think that. But once you know him, there is the come, we now have the follow. How do we bring the light? Well, the call is to learn from him. How can I do this mission stuff? It is to learn from Jesus. So look at it here in verse 19. Follow me. If you do that, if you take that to follow Jesus, we then hear, I will make you. And what is he going to make us into? What is he going to make his disciples into? He's going to make them into fishers of men. Now, in that context, that's really understandable because we're by a sea, the Sea of Galilee, and we're with fishermen, and they are fishing, casting a net into the sea. That makes sense, doesn't it? And Jesus is saying, you catch fish. Well, actually, if you come and follow me, it's not fish you're going to be catching anymore. It's going to be men. People. And so these fishermen turn right round and follow Jesus. And as they go, they are learning about mission. And that isn't something just for these few 12 or others that Jesus calls in the New Testament. It is for all. This is an ongoing call. It is to all disciples. All of Jesus' disciples are called to mission because Matthew finishes his gospel in Matthew 28 with what is called the Great Commission, the Great Call, the Great Work. And what were they told to do? These disciples in 28:19, they're told to teach new disciples to obey everything I've commanded you. These disciples are commanded to make disciples so that those new disciples are taught to obey all that the original disciples were told to do. So they are to go and make more disciples. And those disciples are to be those made of all nations, not just those in a small group. You know, we can often have too low a view of ourselves in mission. I might surprise you. We have too low a view of ourselves. So in the work of mission, there are the ones who can. They are the missionaries. Those who are called to far away extreme places. They are the sent ones into mission. They are the ones who can. and we are the ones who can't. Not so. The work of mission is for all disciples to reach all people. And the Bible says that again and again and again. Yes, there are some who are called into some special ministry, but actually you are called into special ministry in your family, in your neighborhoods, in your school, with any students here, university, workplace. We are the special ones called of God to live light, the light of Christ, where we are. It is extensive. It is world mission. It is all nations mission. And we are in it all together. And we rejoice in that. For some, it is to go, Reuben and Kathy, going off to the Philippines, reaching a people far, far away. It is a long way. If you've ever been to the Philippines, you know just how far it is and how long you spend on a plane. And learning an unknown language, Tagalog, incomprehensible to us unless you happen to be Filipino or you know that language. But there we are called to go to the people who speak our language, to live that light before our family, to live that light before our friends, those who are nearby, those who are close. And we live at a time when nations come to us. We rejoice in the fact that there are people who come from other nationalities, from other places here, so we can live that light to them and show them Christ. What an opportunity that is. And we do that as we follow Jesus. Are you following him? Mission is light to the world. Mission is following Jesus. Mission, thirdly, is revolution. If you don't remember anything else this morning, that's the one I really want you to remember. Mission is revolution. It's radical. Now, of course, radicalization and all kinds of things like that put together with religion is not a good thing. But Jesus is the most peaceful but revolutionary radical who has ever walked on this earth. As are his disciples. When you follow Jesus in this work of mission, things change. These fishermen follow Jesus, and in that simple act, everything changes. They are no longer fishermen, no longer doing what they are doing, but now they are followers of Jesus who catch men. And in verse 23 to 25, we have interwoven two themes of change: cross-cultural and life transformation, and that is mission. Mission transforms lives. It's light into darkness. In taking the gospel to others, lives are changed. We've seen that Jesus brings that light. But these verses show us actually some contrasts. Look at verse 23. Jesus brings the good news of the kingdom, proclaiming the gospel, the good news of the kingdom. What do we hear again and again in our world? Bad news. Jesus there in verses 23 and 24 is healing. What do we hear about in our world? Sickness. He is bringing peace to those who are oppressed. What do we hear in our world? People who are troubled. He brings that ability to do things that were otherwise unable to be done. The paralytics, he brings that goodness. And as Jesus heals, he not only shows us who he is, but he also shows us that the good news brings freedom. Jesus heals to show that he can forgive sin, which is the message of the cross. Lives are transformed in meeting Jesus. And not only are the lives of those who receive the gospel in mission transformed, darkness to light, death to life, being possessed to finding peace, but as you step out in mission, which is faith, you'll see God at work. Yes, you'll see God at work. You'll see lives changed. Your life will be changed. You'll be full of joy as God works. I'd love you to do some of the things that I've had the privilege of doing, Julia and I have done. Visiting missionaries, When I did that as a pastor or now with GBM, it changed my life. My life was enriched, was changed. As we travelled to Kenya and going out into a rural area that was so completely different from anything that I've ever experienced before, and meeting men and women, pastors, wanting to grow in Christ. As I go to the Philippines and visit the works there, and coming across women sacrificing so much because they want to show the light of Christ to children who have been forced into the deepest darkness. As I travel across to Peru, to Lima, and I go into a shanty town, a place that makes the poorest place in the UK look rich. And we go into the church, and I see these men and women, their love for God's word. I know they've got a love for God's word, because these men and women who have nothing have a Bible. And they bring their Bible to church. And when I say we're going to open at this point, they open it because they love Jesus. I go to Riga, Latvia, post-communist dinginess, but radiant through the gospel. I could go on, My life is changed as I meet these people in mission. That is mission, changing us as we serve. And mission also crosses cultures. The New Testament is all about the gospel going to the world in the work of mission. And at this very early stage, we see that. Notice the places that are mentioned here in verse 25. Well, we're reading about the great crowds that followed him from Galilee and the Decapolis. So Galilee is very much the local. Decapolis were the 10 cities. So it's city mission. We see Jerusalem is mentioned. It's a very religious place, religious mission. Judea, going down south, down country. Jordan, going to the east. They're covering every part where mission is happening. And not just there, but to other places also. Look at verse 24. His fame spread throughout all Syria. Syria, going to the north, crossing boundaries to another land. And a glimpse of the future, if you turn back to verse 15. The way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. Here we are in Matthew chapter 4, the start of Jesus' ministry, and we're talking about reaching the Gentiles. Gentiles and Jews, country and city, all points of the compass. Here is cross-cultural mission, which is the New Testament pattern summarized in Acts 1 verse 8, where Jesus says, you're going to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. And you and I are fruit of that. We are the ends of the earth. That has been fulfilled because you are here and is being fulfilled. Mission is for the world and is for all disciples to transform lives as we cross cultures. And here in the UK, we have those same opportunities to be a Christian who is different. Our values, our beliefs, our views are different. I've described them already, how we view the world and how the world says we should be. As you do so, you carry the life-transforming good news. Do you? Mission is for all places. It is for all disciples. And therefore it must mean you and me if you know this Jesus. So as we go back to the start at the end, which is it? Well, I think we can see that it is certainly not exclusive. It is not just a few who are involved, but we're all involved. But it is not simply removing the gospel and doing good things. However good they might be, it has to be about Jesus. Bringing light to a dark world. Bringing Christ to all people. Bringing revolution to lives here and there. From darkness to light. From death to life. Having your life transformed as you follow Jesus in the adventure of mission. And mission being the gospel that changes others' lives, your life, and brings glory to God. May we all see where we can be part of that. Amen.